Well, you know, if you are of an older persuasion, you might not appreciate the significance of this policy announcement today by the Prime Minister. Because let's be honest, some of us, and I include myself in this group, are still coming to terms with the hazards of cybersecurity. Now, the Prime Minister's declared war on what he called cyber invasion. He's confirmed the government will launch, or can launch, offensive attacks to deter foreign online espionage. I mean, I'm not kidding. This stuff is hard for some people to understand, including me. But he's unveiled a $230 million cybersecurity strategy, which focuses on closer collaboration with business. And this move comes as the Prime Minister confirmed reports that the Bureau of Meteorology and the Department of Parliamentary Services were attacked through the internet in recent years. Malicious cyber attacks. The Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, told reporters on the South Coast today that the Bureau of Meteorology attack was under investigation as we speak. Now, Stilgarian is a cyber expert. He writes extensively about this subject and joins us on the line. Thanks for your time, mate.
Look, my pleasure, Bill.
Now, this is, as I said, hard for some people to get their heads around, but it's actually massively serious. If you start tinkering with cybersecurity on a national level, you can cause chaos.
Absolutely. Here's the thing to remember. Everything on God's earth now is controlled by computers. And the people who then control those computers are connecting to them over the internet. And that's everything. I mean, banks, the switching on railway signalling, oil refineries, the air traffic control system, the banking system, and, of course, military systems, you know, all of the messaging we have there that has to be kept secret. So the spies, the spooks who came out of World War II cracking the enemy codes and jamming their radar systems and all of that, half a century or more later, well, you know, the spies go to where the information is. They go to where they can cause the most havoc, and that's computer systems.
We see these kind of plots in Hollywood films, don't we? But I think sometimes there's still a disconnect with the harsh reality of what happens. Why would a hacker want to get into the Bureau of Meteorology?
There's about three reasons. One is that it's a stepping stone into other government systems. So a back door, if you like. You know, once you get into the carport, you can get into the back of the house, and then you can get into the bedroom, sort of thing, even though there's a lock on the bedroom window. So they're looking for ways in. Secondly, I suppose the fact that it's doing weather forecasts. Weather forecasts are distributed to aviation, to the military. If you can read them, if you can distort them and send them false data, that could give you an advantage. The other thing I find interesting about the Bureau of Meteorology hack, it was leaked to the ABC the week before the Paris climate change talks. When we and China were negotiating about our carbon credit target or carbon targets and all of that, and it might have just been, you know, China would want to know what Australia's fallback position is, you know, for negotiation. So, you know, like a poker player, you want to know what cards the other side holds.
We should clarify too, that's as you mentioned, it was said today that they think the hack came from China. Now, I'm presuming that's at an official level there somewhere, not as we see in the West, you know, these clever unofficial hackers who operate independently.
We see a bit of both, and the same applies to the West. I mean, we can assume that our spy agencies are doing the kind of spooky nation-state hacking as spies always have done, and we can assume that lone wolves, people with criminal motives or whatever, are doing the same too. And, you know, although we say we believe it was China, attribution of an attack is actually really quite hard because hackers can funnel their connection through another country. We say, well, look, this connection to this attack came from China, but maybe it was Russian computers who first hacked into computers in China and from there attacked Australia.
Wow.
From anywhere else in the world. And hackers sometimes hide their steps in that way by hopping through 10, 20 chains of computers along the way to hide where they're really coming from. But we do know that China has quite a significant capability in this. They announced the other year that they want to be a world leader in this stuff by the year 2020. And, of course, our folks, our allies, and our friends / not-so-much friends in Russia all have capabilities too.
Well, that's the thing. How do we know we're secure? And how difficult is this constant battle to maintain cybersecurity? Is it worth the spend that the Prime Minister talked about today, or is in fact that not enough money, perhaps?
Well, there's so many threads in that. Yes, it's hard because the defenders have to get everything right and close off every hole. The attackers only have to find the one thing you missed. So that's hard.
Mm.
$230 million, well, to put that in context, that's less than $10 per Australian. Not huge. It's the cost of one F-35 Joint Strike Fighter or one twelfth of a submarine.
Mm. Which so, all of which could be brought down by a successful hack, if you get back to the point you made earlier.
Yes, exactly. You know, all of these things depend on the security of their communications. We do believe that massive damage is being done to business through cybercrime. Now, I don't know exactly, you know, how much that is. I don't think anyone knows what it is. But a couple of weeks ago, the FBI in the United States estimated that just the amount of money made through fraudulent people saying, "Hey, look, I'm the boss, I'm on holidays, but I need you to authorize this $20,000 payment," and fooling people that way, over the last 3 years globally, $3.2 billion.
It's incredible.
Organized criminals.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a big thing. We do know that China got hold of some of the secrets of the plans of American fighter aircraft, which meant that China developed its own stealth jet fighter suspiciously quickly.
Yeah, they launched that, or a version of it, not long ago, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And you know, some of the analysts even say they copied the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, leaving out crap bits.
Well, I know one thing. It'll be a lot cheaper.
Well, you know, it happens when you pay your labour at a tenth price.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's one. In one sense, it's quite wonderful. In other ways, very scary. But so basically, to sum up, you'd certainly endorse what the Prime Minister said today, that they're heading in the right direction here.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the strategy does, in fact, tie together a lot of the kind of military and coordination programs that we already had underway. The big new thing, well, it expands on the science and innovation strategy, really, is to say, look, Australia actually has some skills in this. We already know how to do this stuff. We're technologically advanced. We're some of the best in the world. And we're good at educating people. You know, our education sector is making quite a lot of money with overseas students. There's a massive skill shortage globally in this. It's estimated that by the year 2020, we need to fill another 1.5 million jobs worldwide with the skills to understand this stuff. And going for that market, well, Australia's in a good position in the region to cash in on that.
Oh, that's good to see. We're producing enough nerds to keep this going. I'm just starting to think, with this ageism in the workplace still, Gary, and I might have to try and retrain and get into cybersecurity, but I don't know if I've got the skills, mate.
It is one of those things you need to start young, I think.
Yeah, I think.
And we do see all of the hackers that we see being locked up are all, you know, under 25.
Yeah, I was going to say there'd be about 25 billion four-year-olds who'd be more qualified than me. Thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up again soon, because I've got a feeling this topic's not going to go away, so we really appreciate it.
Certainly won't. Cheers, Bill.
Still Gary in there, who, as you can tell, is an expert and writes often about cybersecurity. And I know he's very, very popular on the internet, and for good reason, because he knows what he's talking about.